This is the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Romans. Now, here's Pastor Sandy with his study in Romans chapter 1.
Several years ago, the school board in Pullen County, Illinois, they prohibited a school in their district from having a traditional Christmas nativity in the yard of their campus. The principal of the school was furious. In fact, he wrote the following on the school's message board. He said, "The Board of Education is jealous of our nativity scene, for on our school board they cannot find three wise men or a virgin." Well, I believe even the most ungodly, ardent atheist, deep down inside, knows the truth about God. And yet he hardens his heart. And he suppresses that truth. Verse 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful." And here's a warning for us. Did you know it's possible to know God, even receive His blessings, yet fail to acknowledge the giver of those blessings? They knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. Well, let me ask you, when your life goes well, do you acknowledge God? Do you give Him the glory? Or do you take the credit? Or do you just chalk it up to chance? Some people, even Christians, talk as if God is a non-issue. They take God for granted. "Nor were they thankful," Paul writes, "but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." You know, the world in Paul's day, they worshiped idols. They turned birds and beasts and bumblebees into gods. People today still worship birds and beasts and bees. In fact, on weekends, they live for the falcons and for the bulldogs and for the yellow jackets. Birds and beasts and bees. Hey, you can turn anything into an idol. Idolatry is giving a greater glory to the creature than to the creator. That's idolatry. It's placing a matter of secondary importance into the primary position in your life. That's idolatry. Idolatry is still alive and well. Paul says people became futile in their thoughts. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools. In other words, once people embraced idolatry, once they rejected God and suppressed the truth about God, smart people stopped thinking rationally. You see, this is what happens when people suppress the knowledge of God. Once a man rejects the most important thing, God, then he tends to fall for anything. It never ceases to amaze me how stupid, brilliant people sometimes act. I mean, college professors, they'll refuse to believe in God, yet they'll read their horoscope religiously. Or they'll visit a palm reader. They might never pick up a Bible. They might dismiss outright that God became a man and visited our planet, yet they suggest that we've been visited by aliens from some strange world. It's amazing. Once you reject the truth, the idiotic things you'll believe. Evolution is another example of professing to be wise. They became fools. Despite the absence of missing links, despite the near zero probability of life forming by chance, despite criticisms from their own camp, despite not a single shred of hard scientific evidence to support their theories, they still believe in the evolution of life. Boy, the strength of a prejudice is always amazing. Famed philosopher Malcolm Muggeridge, he once said, "I'm convinced the theory of evolution will be one of the greatest jokes in the history books of the future. Posterity will marvel that so very flimsy and dubious an hypothesis could be accepted with the incredible gullibility that it has." Remember, once I concede that there's a God, I become accountable to Him. And modern man doesn't want to be accountable to anyone but himself. This is why darkness has taken over. Verse 24, Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. In other words, having worshipped animals, they began to live like animals. You know, over time, a person grows to resemble whatever it is that he or she worships. I mean, after teaching our kids that they've ascended from apes, why are we surprised when they monkey around? Teach a child that he's nothing but an animal and he'll be a party animal. Why expect a kid to develop spiritual appetites and moral standards if all he consists of are glands and hands? In today's morally relativistic world, we haven't given people a reason why one human whim is any more right or wrong than another. And so people today are driven by their lusts. They dishonor their bodies. They've lost any concept of the sanctity of human sexuality. They've been given over to uncleanness, Paul says. He says, who also exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Imagine a society that calls right wrong and calls wrong right. Homosexuality is no longer a dysfunction, a sin. It's now a legitimate preference. Abortion isn't murder. It's a woman's right to choose. The biblical family of one father and one mother is no longer the optimum environment for raising kids. Now, any configuration will do. You see, when pleasing and honoring the creature becomes more important than pleasing the Creator, then truly the patients have taken over the asylum. Here's what's happened today. To avoid God's authority, we have suppressed His truth. And to convince ourselves that we're right, we have normalized the pathological and the deviant. We've created our own rules and ethics. Here's how topsy-turvy our world has become. Millions of dollars today are spent to save a few beached whales while we condone the murder of innocent babies. Here in Georgia, we've threatened the water supply of millions of people to save a few snails in a Florida riverbed. In today's world, animal rights overshadow human rights. We worship the creature rather than the Creator. In our world today, man has lost his uniqueness. Humans are no longer viewed as the image of God, just another animal. Rather than take dominion over nature as God has commanded us, we become its slave. People in governments are more concerned about damaging the environment than they are at bettering human life. Several years ago, I read where a doctor was anesthetizing cats, then shooting them with a BB gun, in order to find ways to help humans who had been traumatized by gunshot wounds. In fact, his research was helping our soldiers, those that had been injured in the Gulf War. And yet his experiments were shut down by animal rights activists who thought that Snowball and Fluffy were more important than Smith and Franklin. The truth is, man is not an animal. It's a confused society that puts animal life on a par with human life. Man is an eternal soul made in God's image. And in verse 26, it gets worse. He says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. In his commentary on Romans, Donald Barnhouse, he writes this, the last 9 verses in the first chapter of Romans are the most terrible in the Bible. The scene is frightful. In fact, 3 times in 3 verses, verse 24, 26, and 28, Paul tells us that God gave them up, or God gave them over. In other words, God abandoned those who had abandoned Him. You know, when a red light flashes on my dashboard, it's an indication to me that there's something wrong with my car. There is a serious problem. Likewise, there are some cultural indicators that signal when a society is breaking down and falling apart. There are some serious warnings. In the remainder of chapter 1, Paul is going to give us 23 indicators of a society on the verge of collapse. But notice this, the primary, the clear-cut manifestation that a people have abandoned God is the cultural acceptance and legitimization of homosexuality. Listen to what Paul tells us in the next two verses. He says, "For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature." I mean, when it comes to sexual deviance, women are usually less prone than men. But in Rome, even the women behaved in these unnatural ways. He says, "Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." Now, this word debased, it means rejected or cast away. As far as God was concerned, they were ejected from the ball game. They were now on their own. You see, here's the ultimate destiny for anyone who suppresses God's truth. God eventually stops convicting them and wooing them back to himself. He gives them over to their own lies. He turns them over to their own deception. Their evil becomes set in stone. A debased mind participates in deviant behavior without the slightest tinge of guilt. In fact, it demands acceptance for its behavior. It grows militant in its quest for legitimization. And this describes today's homosexual agenda. I mean, homosexuals today are not content to practice their perversion privately. They want it normalized. They want to socialize children to see homosexuality as a legitimate lifestyle. They want to be a privileged group with special legal protections. They want to force the rest of us to accept their lifestyle. See, they've justified their rejection of God's order, and as a result, God has given them up to their hard heart. Their behavior is set in stone. Understand, in Romans chapter 1, Paul tells us four truths about homosexuality. First of all, it's not natural. Second, it's not normal. Third, it's not noble. And fourth, it's not neutral. Let me take a moment and go through each one. Notice first, it's not natural. You know, both women and men left the natural use of the opposite sex to lust after those of the same sex. This is what Paul tells us. Yet a quick check of human anatomy will show that same-sex relationships are anatomically aberrant. All you got to do is take a quick peek at male and female genitalia and you notice a natural fit. It's not natural when you confuse the genders. You know, the Bible teaches that God created gender, that the sexes matter to God, that men are for women and women for men. Sexual expression is dictated by God, not left up to us. You know, the research often cited to support the theory that people are born homosexual, it's flawed, it's extremely dubious, but for the sake of argument, what if it were proven that some people do have a gay gene? Does that mean that we should condone and legitimize the behavior? I mean, if a person is biologically predisposed to alcoholism or depression, shouldn't we still try to relieve them of the disorder? If a person is prone to violence, should we legitimize all violence? Of course not. You still want to bring people back to God's norm. You still want to help them have a healthy life as God sees it and as God deems it. Dr. Robert Cronemeyer, he writes, "With rare exceptions, homosexuality is neither inherited nor a result of some glandular disturbance or the scrambling of genes or chromosomes. Homosexuals are made, not born. From my 25 years experience as a clinical psychologist, I firmly believe homosexuality is a learned response to early painful experiences. Thus, it can be unlearned." Also, homosexuality, though it's not natural, and it's also not normal. You see, I believe that there are two roots from which homosexual behavior stems. First is gender confusion. Through abuse or through neglect, people at early ages develop abnormal psychological attractions. This is the homosexual who may not understand why he feels the way he does. But notice when Paul describes homosexuality, he talks about burning in his lust. He talks about the homosexual who burns in his lust. Here's a homosexual who's eaten up with desire. Perhaps she's become bored with heterosexual experiences. In her quest for greater thrills, she flirts with a taboo. She sort of swings back and forth. This is the Madonna in Britney Spears pushing the boundaries. It's the Katy Perry, I kissed a girl phenomenon. This is what happened in the bathhouses of ancient Rome. You see, the brothels no longer satisfied, so perverse Romans adopted an anything-goes sexuality. Homosexuality, it's not natural, it's not normal, and it's not noble. Paul describes homosexual practice. He says, men with men committing what is shameful. Notice the Greek word, rendered shameful. It can also be translated deformed. You know, such practices twist God's intended order. You know, Ephesians 5 teaches us that heterosexual marriage is a picture of Christ's relationship with His church. Homosexuality, on the other hand, distorts and perverts that picture. It masculinizes the female and it feminizes the male. It disrupts the God-given roles and identities, which in turn distort biblical truth. It distorts the big truths that God is trying to communicate to society. It leads to the destruction of the family and ultimately the society. And finally, God says homosexuality is not neutral. Don't be naive. You can't buck nature and not pay the piper. And giving in to homosexual tendencies take a terrible toll. Unbridled selfishness, a seared conscience, damaged self-esteem, confusion and insecurity and loneliness and depression and manipulation are all the price of perversion, not to mention the physical dangers. You know, even though AIDS has crossed over into the heterosexual population, still 70% of all victims of AIDS are homosexual or bisexual, 70%. Did you know that for the last 30 years, the FDA has prohibited male homosexuals from donating blood? Why? Because their sexual practices make them more prone to dangerous viruses. Homosexuality is not natural. It's not normal. It's not noble. And it's not neutral. But don't conclude that the homosexual himself is not loved by God. For he is. When Jesus went to the cross and took our sin on His shoulders, that included the sin of homosexuality. And if you embrace Jesus as your Lord, He will forgive you, and He will provide you a new identity, and He will teach you a new way of life. The gospel is the most powerful change agent on the planet, and it can even change the life of a homosexual and bring them into God's will. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. In fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God." But then he adds, and I'm so glad he does, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." I love that phrase. "And such were some of you." Jesus can break the bonds of homosexuality. Now, as I said earlier, homosexuality is an indicator that a society's in trouble, that it's strayed dangerously far from God. But there are other indicators as well. And Paul has a long list here in verses 29 through 31. He says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now let me just run through this list quickly. Sexual immorality. The Greek word is porneia, from which we get our word pornography. It applies to all forms of illicit sexual arousal and activity. Wickedness. This is an interesting word. The original word means to work or to toil at wickedness. Boy, you look at our culture today. There's a lot of people working hard at being evil. Covetousness is greed. It's the itch for more. Maliciousness is the desire to injure another person. Strife is the tendency to argue just for the sake of arguing. Backbiters. You remember the childhood jingle? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's not true. Flesh wounds heal a lot quicker than wounds inflicted by a sharp tongue on a psyche or on a person's reputation. Chrysostom said, slander is worse than cannibalism. Inventors of evil things. These guys work in Hollywood today. Disobedient to parents. This has become an epidemic in today's world. Undiscerning. That's the failure to learn from history. That's being unteachable. Untrustworthy. When members of a society no longer try to honor their agreements and keep their contracts and their promises, that society is on its way to ruin. Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Boy, it was said of Rome, how pitiless she was. Amid all the ruins of her cities, we find no hospital or orphanage in an age that made many orphans. Rome had no conscience. She was a lustful, devouring beast, made more bestial by her intelligence and splendor. You see, Rome was proof. Anarchy and brutality await a people that have no heart, that have lost their compassion for each other. And then notice verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And I think Paul may have saved the worst for last. Think about this verse the next time you sit down to watch a raunchy movie. You know, you may never cheat on your wife, but do you cheer on the actor who does it in the movie? I mean, how often do we give placid approval to acts that God hates? Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. When we watch, when we pay our money, when we subscribe, we're approving of the very things that God hates. It's called guilt by association, and we need to repent. You know, back in the day when pay phones were popular, I heard of a businessman who had put a call into his wife. He'd finished up the conversation and hung up when the phone rang again. He figured it was the operator telling him to insert another coin. It was the operator, but she didn't say anything about money. This is what she told him. Sir, I thought you'd like to know that just after you hung up, your wife told you that she loved you. What a nice gesture. And I think this is how we need to close Romans chapter 1. Even though our society today has hung up on God, He's still telling us that He loves us and that He'll forgive us if we repent. And this is the gospel. This is what we're going to be learning about in the book of Romans. The gospel. It is still the power of God to salvation to those who believe.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.